Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Bet the Board ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Hey guys, it's Payne. I'm really excited to introduce a brand new show to Bet the Board that combines sports and alternative investing, the very first of its kind. Sports betting and collectibles converging is inevitable. Let me tell you why. Sports cards and memorabilia are another way to get money into the market and do it without limit restrictions or the substantial hold you're accustomed to with sports betting. Whether you collected cards as a kid and are looking to get back into the hobby, this podcast is for you. If you've been collecting cards for years, this podcast will make you think and operate more efficiently. Are you in real estate? The parallels to investing in sports cards and memorabilia are uncanny. You're on Wall Street? Well, listen close. The best sports cards have outperformed the S&P 500 by 6x since 2013. And during the 2008 market crash, sports cards held up better than the S&P 500. Bet the Board, in conjunction with PWCC, presents Cardboard Chat, an entertaining, sophisticated, and informative podcast that combines sports, analytics, betting, cards, and memorabilia. Without further ado, this is Cardboard Chat with Jesse Craig, a leading figure in the collectible space, and me, Payne. We're back after the Memorial break hiatus. How was the vacation? It sounded like it was much needed.
Yeah, it was good timing with the, you know, the acquisition. There's still a lot of transition going on, you know, really, you know, us trying to merge in with, you know, the Fanatics brass and making sure that the transition over is smooth. And so there's just a lot of, you know, T crossing and I dotting that goes on with that. But the timing of the trip was perfect to get away. Go down to Palm Springs, play a little golf, have a little fun, drink a little too much. But we're back. We're back at it.
Drink a little too much. What was the adult beverage of choice?
Well, it's tough. You know, I'm a wine guy, but not real socially acceptable to be chugging red wine on a golf course or even drinking red wine in 95 degree weather is not as appeasing as it is to do it in Oregon where it's a little cooler. So I was going double Greyhounds. That was my drink of choice.
Double Greyhounds the whole weekend.
I mean, look, we dabbled in a few other things, you know, beers here and there, you know, you top a drive, you got a shotgun, a beer, you know, whatever it takes.
What are you shooting these days? And give me the reality. Usually when we have these conversations, you give me the real deal. Anytime I ask anybody else what they're shooting, it's like, I've seen you play. You definitely don't shoot that. what's going on your way?
I just figured my irons out again for the first time, honestly, in probably 10 years. I've been flushing my irons pretty well, so I'm playing better golf. I shot 79, 80 while I was there, And honestly, the 80 was a better round than the 79. It was at Indian Wells. We played from, not the tips, but I can't remember what color they have it branded for like the blues, I guess you'd say. But the greens were like glass. I mean, it was lightning fast. And I played better than an 80. I took a triple on a par four that I had 120 yards into. there was no hazards or anything. I got the swirling wind. It was at my back, then in my face, and I couldn't figure out what club to hit. Got in my own head, like, you know, the mental game golf is. I chunked one into the bunker, got a fried egg lie, bladed that over the green, and, you know, dinked my way around to a seven. So I shot an 80 with two doubles and a triple.
Ooh.
I know. So there's seven strokes as it is. But no, the game's coming around. I've always been a really good putter. If I can hit it in the fairway off the tee, usually I score pretty well.
Beautiful. And you are, correct me if I'm wrong, definitely played in high school. Did you play in college?
No, did not play in college. I partied for a living in college. I didn't get any college offers, which was interesting. I learned once you got out of college or once you got out of high school that, you know, your coach can sometimes, you know, be a big help and an assist in that. And he hadn't had to really go through that before. So I didn't get any college offers. Just went to the one school I applied for, which was Oregon. And had a little fun and got out of there with a business degree, but no college golf experience.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we were discussing a little bit before recording about your watch habits of the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
You caught just the fourth quarter in time to see your bet cash in the Miami Heat in game two. We're now tied 1-1 Nuggets Heat.
Yep.
About 4 hours from now is game two of the Stanley Cup Finals. Is there a player in either the NBA or NHL Finals whose pricing in the future is going to be most impacted by a title this year in your estimation?
Well, I think the obvious play is Jokic. And I think the fact that I can't name a single player on the Knights or the Panthers well, probably helps me just lean towards Jokic.
Well, no, but rewind back, you know, about a month ago. You were buying Jokic then.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, he's the one guy where first of all, he's played unbelievable, absolutely out of his mind. He's set the record already for triple doubles in a postseason run. He is playing like the best player in basketball. And, you know, you hear all these, we think about the fact that he won two MVPs, and should he have won a third one can obviously be debatable. A lot of people are saying that
yes,
he didn't get it. Right. Exactly. Yes. I agree as well. But a lot of people are saying that he didn't get it because then, you know, it's like Jordan never got that, right? LeBron, like all these guys, nobody ever won three in a row, really, right? It puts him in that category. And so to give him three just puts him in this upper echelon of all-time greats. And I think that was part of the reason why, Embiid was an easier choice for a lot of the voters. But he's playing out of his mind. The Nuggets look amazing. The Heat also look incredible for an eight seed. I mean, good Lord, the defense that they're playing is mind boggling. It's like they shoot decent from the field and they've got a shot to win every single game. It's from a value perspective, Jokic has the most upside, but don't sleep on Jimmy Butler. What they've done in this playoff run, I think you're going to see a really big uptick in his card value short term, no matter what, win or lose. As long as they don't, you know, lose 4-1 in the series, if they go six or seven games, I think that Jimmy Butler's cards already get an uptick because of what he's been able to do with that team.
I love to see that because Jimmy Butler is a killer. It's one of those killer guys that just has a different
mindset. Michael Jordan's son. And Michael Jordan's son.
Starting to see those photos surface on the interwebs.
I know.
It's eerie. I think the obvious to your point is Jokic and just watching the different styles that he can play, right? Game one, it's the triple-double and he's a facilitator. And I think everyone envisioned the Heat maybe making some changes defensively, obviously inserted your boy K-Love into the starting lineup last night. But game two, it was about making Jokic a score and not having him distribute the ball to wide open guys like MPJ and Gordon and Murray. But you popped the game on in the fourth quarter, and when we were discussing it, your vibe felt a little bit different than if you'd watched the entire game, because you said something to me where, you know, I popped on the game in the fourth quarter and the Heat were up like 8-10. It just felt like I was coasting. And at that point, yes. But it's very difficult to assess this series because Miami really wasn't close in game one. And you can say, hey, they went seven games, then had to play in altitude on just a couple days rest. Well, Denver was fully rested, missed jump shots, didn't have the legs. Sure. Game two, we saw some adjustments from Spoelstra. But even with those adjustments, the Heat are shooting 50% and they're down eight heading to the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like every single game there's someone that steps up, and it's Duncan Robinson scoring about 10 points in 2 minutes, completely changing that game. The Heat get hot on offense. It allows them to get set up in that wonky zone Spo was running defensively. And then it just felt like, you know, maybe some of the calls weren't going Denver's way and they had a mental battle there. They're certainly the team that hasn't been tested in the NBA Finals. We know the Heat are a little bit battle tested in that regard. So just very interesting to see maybe how this series plays out, because, you know, it was like Denver blew them out in game one, but there was, you know, some fatigue issues. And then last night it's like, hey, the Heat figured this out, but despite figuring it out, they weren't really close for three quarters. So it's going to be interesting to see what materializes down in Miami for game three and four.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm definitely excited to watch the finals. It's been a really fun final. I know I didn't watch the whole game too, but from everything I heard from Tony Carley, who's our director of sales, he told me that it was one of his favorite finals games he's ever watched. He was like, it was just a fun back and forth, and like the underdog won. And so let's just hope for seven games. That's all we can hope for.
A Tony shout out. Took 25 episodes, but finally we got one in there. Great
Mr.
guy.
Mr. Carley, my man. Love him. My right-hand man, Tony. Love
that dude. Hopefully we'll see him in Chicago at National.
Oh, guarantee it. Guarantee it.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's time, folks. That's right. We're going to discuss undervalued and overvalued cards, or maybe even some memorabilia assets, potentially some players. Is it time to buy, sell, or hold on to these assets or players? We'll give you some opinions and back it up.
The other guarantee is that we're going to be talking about some vintage basketball here in our new segment. It's time. A little bit of a teaser there. I'm not going to steal your thunder, but give us a little bit of a discussion here in terms of what your undervalued vintage set is this week, and I'll let you roll from there.
Yeah, so you said basketball. It is baseball.
Baseball, that is correct. Baseball.
Yeah, get rid of the K and the T, and now you're good.
There you go.
okay, so my set, I actually have an entire set this week, and it's 1971 Topps Baseball. You know, and there's actually a card in here that I'm doubling up on in this pod. So in the Damn, That's a Ghost segment, I'm going to have a card from this set. So I'm not going to talk about that specific card right now. But this is how amazing. I can't believe this set didn't come to mind earlier. But it is a brutally hard set from a condition perspective. It is a black bordered set. And anybody who's owned any 71 Topps baseball cards in their life, they knows that there is just a ton of chipping around the edges of the card because of the black border. And this creates lower grades. So there have been over 303,000 1971 Topps cards graded in total. There have only been 242 tens given across every single player in a 780 card set. And that's wild to think about.
Absolutely nuts.
And it's a 70s set. It's not like we're talking about a set from the 30s. Like, it is such a difficult set. I mean, even think about the Black Swamp find where they found those E98s. They're getting PSA 10s on those cards, which are from 1909. Like, we haven't uncovered any, like, amazing vending. We haven't uncovered anything where these cards are perfect because naturally they came from the manufacturer with chips when they're cut. They're just very difficult cards to find in high grade. So even PSA 9s are only a 3% hit rate for the set. That's crazy, crazy low for a 1970s set. So the majority of the cards in the set are going to be graded between sixes and eights, and nines are very hard to come by, and tens are damn near impossible. And like I said, it's a 780 card set. So that means on average, even with nines, you know, you're only getting about a dozen or so PSA 9s on average for each card in the set. That's a really low population for a high-produced set like this. Another interesting thing about the set that I really like is if you include the individual players and then they have those, you know, RBI, the batting leaders and the home run leaders, if you include all those different kind of variations of cards as well, there's over 60 Hall of Famer cards in the set out of 780. It's a pretty high percentage. So there's a lot of huge, huge, huge names in the set for you to collect. And what I love the most is in PSA 8 grade, there's only a handful of those 60 Hall of Famers that you'd have to pay over $1,000 for in a PSA 8. And a lot of those are $300 to $500. I mean, it's a very, very, very affordable Topps baseball set. And it's extremely undervalued for all of those reasons, in my opinion.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I think this might be one of the best finds you've had. I was at the Baseball Hall of Fame recently, and this set had a little bit of a section, and I was telling my dad about how condition sensitive this set was and is. You start to look at some of the pricing, and as I prepared for this, I started going through it again, and I'm like, how is that possible? And there's a lot of iconic cards in there. You mentioned all of the Hall of Famers, but you have Reggie Jackson and Hank Aaron and Pete Rose and Willie Mays and Johnny Bench, and then you even have Thurman Munson's rookie card, which is an absolute classic, where his catcher's mask is off and there's a play
horizontal
at the plate.
Yeah,
dirt spitting up. You got the rookie cup insignia. It's just a perfectly designed card. And that one, you know, 4,000 copies have been graded by PSA. You know, there's 136 Munson's assessed 8 or better with no 10. So just kind of a visualization of how difficult this set is. I know you mentioned you'll talk about the Nolan Ryan later, but that's a fantastic card with the live action shot. You have Roberto Clemente, which was, to me, one of my favorite cards in that set, unintentionally, I think, ahead of its time, because it looks like a true color match where the Pirates uniform is the exact color of the text and the design that Topps created. And it just feels like it was like 6 decades before Panini ever thought about creating color matches. So I absolutely love your choice here with the 1971 Topps vintage set, although just wildly undervalued, and some opportunities out there for our listeners who want to get into vintage, but maybe some of the price points became hurdles. This is a great set that maybe is a great introductory set into vintage for you.
It really is. And that's, you know, we talk about these undervalued. It used to be called undervalued, overvalued, but we've pretty much gone the undervalued route, right? Because it's kind of more fun to talk about those.
Well, that, and it's just, you know, the market keeps going down and going down.
Sure.
And it's just, you start to see what past pricing was and where you can get these cards now. It's like you're starting to feel like we're potentially closer to the floor, you know?
Right. Yep. And this, your point of, you know, beginner collectors looking at vintage, this is such a great set. I mean, we do these and, you know, every once in a while we'll come across one where I'm like, oh, that kind of makes me want to go buy one of those. I'm like, I want to collect the 71 Topps baseball set after researching this. I mean, it is, it'd be a big project, but it'd be a lot of fun. And it is just a great, great set.
Concur completely. I am not going to be original here, because about a month ago, I talked about the 1966 Philadelphia vintage football set and why it's respected among collectors and how it was, you know, the vintage football card brand in 1966. It got more love than Topps that year, you know? And yeah. I believe we mentioned Dick Butkus as the key card then, but today I'm going to focus on Gale Sayers' rookie card. And very similar to, you know, the Butkus and maybe even the 71 Topps you mentioned, it's condition sensitive. There are no PSA 10s of Sayers rookie, just total 50 total copies graded 8.5 or higher. So I just think this is one of those cards, again, that if you're a Bears fan or you're a vintage football collector, this falls in that must have category. If you want to take a step down in grade, you can get a PSA 7 depending on how great the centering is for $600 to $800. The photo is Sayers in the Heisman pose, and I start to think about him as a player a little bit, and I was watching some highlights last night, this morning, and you know the numbers aren't necessarily there because unfortunately injury cut his career short, and
right,
probably an injury that if it were to happen today doesn't ruin his career. So he does lack longevity, but you start to look at Sayers, he was more of like a 2023 style running back playing in the mid 60s. He was way ahead of his time. He was fast. He was elusive. He could run over you too, but he would catch passes out of the backfield and he would contribute on special teams, returning kicks and punts. His rookie year, Sayers had 20 rushing and receiving touchdowns on 195 touches, two more in the return game. His first six seasons combined averaged over 5 yards a carry when everyone was focused on stopping the run. You look at him as a pass catcher out of the backfield, 63 receptions, averaged over 15 yards a catch his first two seasons. And so I'm watching these highlights and it's like, this guy was as shifty as Barry Sanders, but he had a running style like Adrian Peterson. And just what could have been had the career not been cut short. But I think when you think about, you know, Sayers' brand, the rarity of the 66 Philadelphia set, it being the main football set, then the Bears brand, how affordable, you know, this card is relative to other vintage sets and players and cards. Eventually, I think the market has to evolve and smarten here on this card.
You made a lot of really good points, and you know he is a top 10 all-time running back, right? And yeah, who knows where he really finishes on that top 10 list if he doesn't, you know, have the injury bug. But anytime you can find a card, call it a 60s card or older, of a rookie, of a top 10 player in their position, and in an important position, I'm not talking linemen, right? I'm talking running backs, wide receivers, all-time greats, quarterbacks, and you can get those in PSA 8, you know, PSA 8 grade for $2,500 or less. I mean, that just feels so inexpensive in the grand scheme of things, especially for a card that's condition sensitive. To your point, you know, there's 35 PSA 9s and 0 PSA 10s, right? It's just, it is a very difficult card. And so, you know, finding it in a nicely centered PSA 8 copy is what I would personally look for if I was going to go scoop this card up. And you might pay a little bit of a premium for that, but I guarantee you, if you find a nicely centered PSA 8 copy, it's going to be nicer than a lot of the PSA 9s out there, and you're going to get it for a fraction of the price. So that's what I would go look at. But I do love this card, love the player. I agree, he is like a crazy unique hybrid of a running back that would fit so well in today's game. It's like if we could just go, you know, fast forward in time and let him play in today's style, you know, pro style offense, I think that he would be, you know, the number one running back in the league.
Pick a number, any number, whatever it may be. We got a number inside, but we want a magic number, all right? This is where we're going to pick a few big cards that enter in an auction over the next couple of days, and we're going to try and guess how much they sell for in advance. Throw out a number. We got one, too.
One guy that we know is the number one player ever in the sport of basketball is where we're going to start this week's magic number. I'm not going to botch it. We're actually talking basketball now. This specific card, the first one on our agenda list today, the 2005 Upper Deck Duel, Michael Jordan and his sidekick, LeBron James, a one-of-one auto. Talk to us a little bit about this card because it's fantastic looking. Two action shots of Jordan, LeBron, both dunking. Autographs are bright blue and bold. It's a one-of-one. Very special card. Talk to us a little bit about this one.
It is. It's first of all, it's a great card, and that's why I selected it today. But also, I think there's a good learning experience on a card like this. You know, on the surface, you look at this card, and you know it's beautiful. It really is. It's a very aesthetically pleasing card. The pictures are great. The 1-1s, that beautiful cursive 1-1 that we all love. And then there's, you know, the autos on the card. But if you look closely, these autos are not on card. They are sticker autos. They appear to be on card, but they are not. And additionally, there are multiple variations of these 1-of-1s. So they have different pictures of the athletes and action shots. I think there's like 8 variations of the 1-of-1. So they actually made quite a few of them.
10.
There's 10.
I was hoping to. I was hoping you didn't research this. I thought I was going to catch you here.
No, buddy. I know this card very well. There's multiple variations. I said 8. This is card 8 of the 10 1-of-1s. That's why I said that. But so there's 10 1-of-1s. They're actually sticker autos, not on card autos. And, you know, normally when you're looking at a 1-of-1, grade doesn't matter as much. But when you talk about having 10 different variations of a 1-of-1 that look very similar, it's basically a card that's out of 10, in my opinion. Still an amazing card, don't get me wrong. It's in SGC 7, so grade does actually matter a little bit more because there are additional copies out there. Like, I'll give you this as an example. What do you think, Payne? If this is on card auto and there's only one true 1-of-1 of this card, it's a $200,000 card? $250,000 card? What do you think?
In today's market, yes.
It would have been $500,000 card a year and a half ago.
One of these cards, maybe 2 years ago around this time, had a $200,000 in front of it.
One of these variations?
Yes.
Wow.
It was Gem Mint.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. There you go. I didn't notice that. But with all those things considered, this is not going to go for 6 figures. It's not going to go for over 50,000. I've got this thing settling in at about $23,475.
Trading cards and memorabilia have seen incredible growth as an alternative investment. The company leading the growth? PWCC Marketplace. PWCC Marketplace runs the largest weekly auction of authenticated sports cards, Pokemon cards, comic books, video games, and memorabilia in the world. PWCC Marketplace also has more than 65,000 items listed in their fixed price marketplace that you can make an offer on right now. Head over to pwccmarketplace.com and see why they're the best option for buying and selling trading cards, memorabilia, and all of your collectibles.
Okay, I got you down. That's actually really good. You're saying very cocky today. Guy went on vacation, got plastered, hit a 79, and all of a sudden he's back. He's confident. So you took all the talking points. I was hoping a couple of those slid by you, because when you think about how great this looks aesthetically, and then it's, you know, LeBron and Jordan, and they're both in their dunking poses, and Jordan's mouth is out, and you got these bright blue autos, and it's a 1-of-1 in like this gold foiling cursive.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's awesome. But then you start thinking about, you know, the 10 different variations and, you know, there's sticker autos, and many collectors hate when the autographs are vertical and not horizontal. Still great cards, but it limits the peak. You also typically don't see this kind of card in an SGC holder, right? It's Beckett or PSA.
Sure.
This will also be the fifth time one of these 1-of-1s have sold in roughly the last year or so. This was a really good number, okay? And I'll just be candid. You're at my floor.
Okay.
So
I figured you'd be a little bit higher than me. I'm being conservative.
I had a floor and I had a ceiling price. And
was your ceiling about 30?
It was. So yep. My mid-tier price is 25.2. So that's okay. where we'll go for this one. So you're at 23,475. I am at 25,200. Wrote those down. And we will move along, because this next one is same sport, basketball, but we're going back to vintage. It's the classic Logo Man.
Yes.
The freaking 1961.
The
yes. Yeah, despite Logo Man. Despite your people trying to get the other Laker on there.
Hey, I'd be an advocate for that.
I'm sure you would. I just don't know if I'm going to keep this PG. I'm not going to say it. Okay. 1961 Fleer basketball, Jerry West rookie in a PSA 8 near mint, extremely condition sensitive set. PSA only assessed 41 copies with better condition. This one, a touch heavy left to right and bottom to top with its centering. You know, many times, Jesse, when you pick these cards out and we talk about vintage for a segment like this, I've said, hey, this comes with the PWCC eye appeal upgrade in the top 30, 15 or 5%. This West rookie doesn't have the enhanced eye appeal designation, but it's not ridiculously off-centered by any stretch.
No.
Very tough card to assess because basketball season's winding down, so we've seen basketball prices tick down a little bit. It came out of the gate strong, though. I don't know if it you've did. Looked at this today.
Yeah,
it's like
that's
over
6K with the
UV. Yes.
Yeah.
And
which
this
is a little interesting.
It is. It made this very difficult because it's also just the third PSA 8 Jerry West that's been publicly available at auction so far in 2023. So I'm having this battle where Jerry West is down a little bit, market's down a little bit, basketball season wrapping up, but this started red hot. I think I'm going to be low here. I'm going to go 10,800 on the Jerry West rookie.
We are so close. Okay. That's a great number. You are within $500 of the number I have. And so I will take the over on this one. But you know, I've talked about this set before. It is one of my favorite sets, if not my favorite set in all of trading cards. You know, Jerry West is the logo man, the old, you know, the underhand free throws. I mean, there's so much to love about the guy. You know, he's a legend, and this card should be worth more than it is, in my opinion. And, you know, if you look at the eye appeal stickers, if you look at this, it's probably an average copy from a condition perspective. You mentioned the off-centered nature of it left to right. It's a little off top to bottom as well. But what's beautiful about it is actually the color. It's got really good print, very, very strong and very bold print on the card. So, you know, like I said, I'm going to take the over on this one. I'm going to go 11-3.
Perfect. Yeah. To your point, very, very vibrant in terms of the color. And It's just a touch. It might be like 60-40 left to right, 60-40 bottom heavy. It's not completely glaring by any stretch in terms of its off-center nature. It's probably, again, you know, like just 60-40 left to right and bottom to top. But again, just very, very vibrant color. The next card. Also basketball. This is interesting, I guess, because it's finals.
NBA finals time, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's go,
so we got three hoops cards, and arguably the most undervalued modern day basketball player aside from Shaq. And we're going with his former Miami Heat teammate, Dwayne Wade. The third card, Jesse and I are going to be guessing a hammer on this week, is Wade's 2003 Ultimate Collection Rookie Auto, serial numbered out of 250 copies, bright blue on card signature. This particular version encapsulated in a rare BGS black label, perfect condition. Only three copies in total have been assessed that highly. Jesse, talk to us a little bit about this card. Maybe dive into the BGS black label designation and the premium that typically comes along with that, and then ultimately where you think this Wade settles.
Yeah, I think it really depends from a black label perspective on the pop, right? Black label is all four subgrades are a 10. It's extremely difficult to obtain via BGS. I don't have metrics from Beckett, but I would imagine that black labels are handed out in like 0.1% of the time. I mean, it's very hard to get a black label. Now, the fact that this card's numbered out of 250 and there's three black labels, well, that tells you that it's not a crazy condition sensitive card, right? It's very difficult to get a black label in general, let alone three of them out of, you know, however many have been graded with Beckett. It's not all 250 because there's obviously a lot in PSA holders. There's stuff that just hasn't been graded yet. So it's not crazy condition sensitive, but this is one of his most popular and aesthetically pleasing rookies. It's a vertical, beautiful spot for an auto. He's got a bright, bold blue auto on this card. I really do like this card, and it's a very popular chase card for those that collect Dwayne Wade rookies. So, because it's a black label, the premium typically over a PSA 10 is about 4 to 5X. But with the pot being a three, I don't think it's going to be quite that. I've got this card at 10,800.
I've got you marked for 10,800. That's a really, really good number. I love this set, right? It's kind of this mix of old school and new school. It's simplistic, but it has this hollow foil refractorage throughout. It's an action shot. You have the great bright blue signature. It's just one of those cards that I love because it's elegant, but it has just enough kind of pop and pizzazz. Now, we'll ask you this. We try to be Switzerland on this podcast. We don't really dive into politics or anything like that because nothing good comes from those conversations when you have all walks of life listening. But we've seen, you know, the issues Bud Light and Target are having, and this is a market, so it's the only reason I'm bringing this up. We saw Dwayne Wade recently has moved the family out of Florida after Ron DeSantis didn't want, you know, children being taught certain things in school. Do we think that could impact pricing a touch here? Do we believe part of why Wade's prices are decreasing a little bit stronger than actual market could be some of these things off the floor?
It's possible. We've talked about brands a lot on here, and you know, I think that there's more of a divide than ever in this country, right? From right to left. And you know, I think that's part of the reason why LeBron's stuff isn't worth more than it is politically he's picked sides, right? And when you do that, you alienate yourself from a potential collector group if they are, you know, if they're right or left or whatever the opposite of who that athlete is. Curry's done a pretty good job of staying, you know, down the middle. And I think when guys do that from a brand perspective, they see more brand value. But you know, who knows? We can't point to it, you know, a yes or a no really for Dwayne Wade if that stuff is part of the reason why his cards haven't, you know, they're not worth more. So it's hard to say. It really is hard to say, but I'd like to think it doesn't affect it to be honest with you. But it's part of his brand, and there's gonna be people that might say, well, I'm not with that, and so I'm not gonna buy your cards.
Makes a world of sense. Now, this one has started the very opposite
slow
of the Jerry West, very slow. And so it made me really have a tough time figuring out the type of range this card was going to have. And I'll just be completely candid and honest. I was a touch higher than you, so I'm going to stick with my intuition there. I believe you're going to end up winning this one, but I have this one at $11,500.
Okay, let's see how it shakes out.
Damn, that's a ghost. We're going to highlight a card that hasn't sold in more than a year right now, or is serial numbered to less than 100 copies produced. We're going to talk about why this card is significant, maybe in terms of hobbies or language or just the overall rarity of it all, and why it's considered a ghost.
Now we go back to, I wouldn't say where we started this show, but certainly towards the beginning part, it was Jesse's undervalued set, the 1971 Topps black border, just prone to tons of chipping. They're off-centered. But you want to talk specifically about a card within that set as this week's ghost.
Yeah, so we have a 71 Topps Nolan Ryan in an SGC 9 that's up for auction right now in our weekly auction. And yeah, I wanted to pick a card that wasn't crazy expensive for this week, and it just so happened this dovetailed into the undervalued segment as well, so it worked out pretty well. But, you know, this card in a SGC 9, there's no SGC 9 or PSA 9 that has sold in over a year. There have been over 5,000 of these Nolan Ryans graded by PSA. Only 31 have been assessed a PSA 9. With zero PSA 10s. That is a 0.6% PSA 9 rate.
Nuts.
Right? And even the 8s, there's only 590. That's an 11% PSA 8 rate for a 70s card. You talk about this specific example, the SGC. There's only five SGC 9s. There is one 9.5, which I haven't seen, but could be the best example in the world. And there's zero SGC 10s. So the card is just, you know, we talked about the set earlier. It's just brutally difficult to get this card in high grade. The last SGC 9 sale was about a year and a half ago for $7,750. You know, I do expect this sale to, you know, definitely beat that, you know, call it 1.5 to 2x, I think is probably the range that the card will finish in because of the pent up demand for it. But a really, really special card, very difficult to find. And if you're a set collector of 71 tops and these things hit the market, you got to go strong and get it when you can.
And knowing how Dave and the guys at SGC grade vintage, that 9.5 is definitely the best copy. Yeah,
it's probably an 11.
Yeah. and for this card, to your point, again, we talk about it all the time. You know, June, July, things get a little bit stagnant. There's no new sports coming. Baseball season's kind of already reached its peak there in March and in April. Like, this is still, because of its rarity in this grade, is going to set a record despite the market overall being a little bit down. It was a great choice for this week's Ghost. Absolutely love it.
So we doing this or we doing that? You tell me and we'll tell you. We're going to compare two cards right now with similar value that are completely different. Let me give you an example. Let's just say, for argument's sake, you have a vintage Mickey Mantle baseball card worth $30,000. But you also have a modern day Joe Burrow rookie card worth $30,000. Which one would you rather have and why? You tell us, we're going to tell you right now.
Very interesting cards this week. And as you sent this across and I was looking at it, I was like, boy, these are really interesting cards that feel like polar opposites, but they're from the same time frame. So it makes it really interesting. And then I remembered back, I owned one of these cards. And I sold it, and my reasoning was probably going to come off as a little brash, but I will let you go first. Again, this is this or that, and the two cards we're comparing this week. The first, a 1965 Topps Football Joe Namath rookie in PSA 5. It is an SP, especially for that time. We're comparing it to a non-sports card, a 1966 Topps Batman with the black bat, number one in the set in a PSA 8 near mint. It does come with the PWCC IAPL designation of an A that we discussed a little bit deeper earlier in the show. Give us your pick here, because this is pretty close, I think, on the surface. But once I dug in, I didn't think it was all that close.
It's so funny. Like, it's basically the same thing. So
you think we're going in the same direction?
It's possible. Okay. So
it's a 50-50 shot, I got to tell you.
So it's definitely possible. The Namath and a PSA 5 sold for $3,480 a week ago. It is one of the key chase rookie cards for all of vintage football, if not kind of the chase rookie card in high grade. This is a 5, so it's more affordable. And it's a decent looking 5. These cards are historically known to have off-centering issues, and it's an oversized card too. So that's more surface area for more issues, whether it's print, edge issues, whatever it may be. It's harder to get those bigger cards centered, it feels like. And Namath had a massive media brand as an athlete, and that's part of the reason why I pin these two together. Now, when you look at the second card, you have a 66 Topps Batman black bat. It's the first card in the set, in a PSA 8 with a PWCCA IAPL sticker. This is effectively Batman's rookie card, and it sold a week ago for about $250 more. $37.20 was what it sold for. Now, we know how big of a brand Batman is, and that's why I kind of pin these two against each other, because of Namath's media brand, how big he was playing, and his personality, and how big the brand of Batman is. Kind of from these cards are, you know, a year apart from production perspective. The Batman one in a PSA 8 comes with an IAPL sticker, so it's a very, very nice copy, very well centered. It's almost dead nut centered. And when I originally pinned these two against each other, I thought it would be much more of a difficult decision And then, like you, once I started doing some digging, I actually thought the choice was pretty clear. And because of the relevancy of Batman until the end of time, I'm going to have to go with the Batman card.
Yeah, we're speaking the same language here, and it's not close for me. And same. You mentioned Joe Namath's media brand, and I think that's the only reason he's viewed a certain way. It's my belief that the Joe Namath is the most overrated football player in the history of the sport. Okay. And I don't think that's debatable. I think it's a slam dunk, and the numbers simply don't stack up. And, you know, if you're aware of what Bet the Board is, you know, that's obvious when I speak about numbers and data. If you're just a card collector coming in and thinking, hey, like, obviously Joe Namath's numbers aren't going to stack up to the players of today. Yes, that's obvious. But if you just compare Joe Namath to the quarterbacks that were around in the 60s, right, his peers, the data is just so skewed, right? They're all better. Johnny Unitas, Len Dawson, Bart Starr, Sonny Jurgensen, Tarkenton, T.A. Tittle, right? Like, all of those guys are way better than Joe Namath, and it's not close, whether you're looking at something like completion percentage or touchdowns or interceptions, or we were able to kind of go back and scrape some data and come up with our own quarterback ratings. You name it. Like, those guys were simply better. Namath was just louder. And yep. I'd much rather own a 1966 Topps Batman and PSA 8, which is a Pop 57, only 14 copies graded higher with no 10s, iconic set of the most popular superhero of all time. And so suddenly I started marking this, hoping that one would pop up. And I'm going to put you on the spot here, because I hate when people do this to me, but I'm going to do it to you because I'm the host here. So obviously PWCC is like ahead of the times when it comes to technology. You guys are very innovative. I'm sure you've discussed this internally. Is there a way to save searches and get notified when something potentially pops up? I know email gets expensive, but maybe there's a saved search, and then next time you log into the site on the desktop or your app, there's like a pop-up that says, hey, this card's now available. Is that potentially in the works?
Of course. Okay. Yes. That is actually very, very close around the corner. We've been, it's the from a dev perspective, it's actually more of a complicated lift than you would imagine, but we have been working on that for some time now, and it's going to be, we're going to have a whole new, this is actually kind of something to inform everyone on, we're going to have a notification center where you can basically opt in and out of things. And I believe that save searches to get even emails, just like you would on, you know, on eBay or whatever it may be, when something comes for sale, comes up for sale on Fixed Price Marketplace or at auction that matches your search criteria, you will get notified of said items and be able to go to the website and bid.
Beautiful. I mean, after the early hosting kerfluffle there, gravitating to segment two, we teased that, and it was just the perfect fluid marketing pitch there for you guys. But I was always wondering that. I knew you guys are ahead of the time, so that was coming. But fancy, yeah, it's going to be email notification. That can be costly.
There's a lot that's coming around the corner. I mean, we've been working on a lot of things that haven't been launched. And then, you know, obviously with the Fanatics acquisition and being able to, you know, leverage, you know, their network and their marketing and their users. I mean, there's so much for us to do, honestly. It's a lot. It's a little overwhelming, but it's all a ton of fun, and there's just endless options.
Beautiful. Should we wrap it there, or is there anything else you want to close this show with? We have auctions ending this Thursday. Or just Sunday?
No, we have just our weekly auction ending Sunday.
Sunday, yep.
Pop culture ends next week on Thursday.
That's what it was. Okay.
We do have a new premiere launching this Thursday. It's a little lighter than normal because of the seasonality of June is kind of one of the slower months out of the year for trading card sales. Plus, we've split up some of these premiere auctions into pop culture, into vintage. And so we have some more specialty auctions. So we'll have a vintage premiere launching at the end of this month as well that I'm really excited about. It should be over 100 cards. But yeah, we've got a lot going on. Watch out for a lot more new features and tools coming down the pipeline from us here soon. We're very excited.
And the easiest way to check out for those new features, just click the link atop the podcast description. Go to pwccmarketplace.com, sign up for an account, poke around, familiarize yourself. That's everything I got this week, buddy. Are we back next week? Are you done slamming beers and hitting 79s?
I'm going to go for 78s next week. But yeah, we're back. We're back.
Beautiful. Talk soon.
Make sure you follow Payne on Twitter at Payne Insider. Subscribe to Bet the Board and get notified when new episodes of Cardboard Chat air on Tuesdays. And be sure to stop by pwccmarketplace.com for all your collecting needs.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Bet the Board ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. But before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at Wondery.com/survey.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.